Start your day the Torah way, Northwest London, Monday, 21st of Tammuz, 10th of July, Rabbi Dr. David Fox Schlitter. Can one sell their share in Olam Habo? This week's Torah is sponsored L'chvod Simchas HaMitzvah of Ari Ostreicher, whose bar mitzvah was last Shabbos. He wrote in Shizku, who wrote was Kenov Rav Nacha, Semenu Mekol Yotzei Chalotzeihem.
Ready to start? Good morning, and thank you for the honor of returning once again to the Torah Way, which I enjoy participating in and listening to from afar. This shaila is an actual shaila. Some of the balabatim who attend my halacha shir had posed this to me, and apparently some while ago a Hasidish yid who decided he no longer wanted to be observant posted on eBay his chelik and olam haba. And this had triggered a lot of discussion about why would a person do that and can a person do that. What I'd like to do in the time that we have, and by the way, how much time do we have?
Until 9 o'clock.
Okay, so I'll speak quickly. Okay, good. Take my watch off so I can see what time it is. According to me, it's only 12:30. Los Angeles got plenty of time. So I want to look at the shaila not so much as a hashkafic or metaphysical question, but really just from the standpoint of choshen mishpat, from the standpoint of kinyonim, what would be the mechanics of making that sale or making that purchase? Now, we do have in Yoredeya, Resh Mem Vav, we do have the din that we have come to know as the Yisachar Zevulun partnership. We have this brat, the Ramah speaks about this, the Mechaber speaks about this somewhat, namely that if an individual is unable to learn or not equipped to learn or there's some other reason that learning is not practical or functional for him, so he's allowed to make a partnership with someone who will learn, and that individual will, in essence, share his schar for limud Torah with the funding partner, the so-called zevulun. So we actually do have an anchor for the concept of a person being able to, so to speak, put online, or at least put on the market, some of his schar associated with the mitzvah, with the schar of learning Torah. Now, there are a lot of I don't want to call them folklore, I don't want to call them apocryphal, but in sort of the lore and the legends of the Torah world, we have many, many tales of great people where we're told that they were willing to give away a chelik of their schar of a mitzvah, or they were willing actually to give away their schar, or they did give away their schar in Olam Haba. I was zochah to learn at the feet of Hagon Rav Moshe Feinstein many, many years ago. And he said very, very vociferously that he doesn't believe any of those stories are emes, that a person would not want to give away his schar, olam haba, his schar mitzvah. And therefore he dismissed the credibility of those legends or those stories. But let's look upon this in a more practical halacha lemaisa way. What's going to happen? A person is going to offer to sell or maybe to give away all that he has earned as schar. Now, Olam Haba, the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tshuva that we don't want to misunderstand that it's the world to come that has not yet come. The Rambam says that world, that dimension of reality, that non-dimensional, non-material, non-substance, call it metaphysical reality, it exists. It's always existed. It exists right now. So Olam Haba, we're not there yet, but it exists. It's a presence. It's an essence. It's a strata of some sort. The Rishonim discuss what it means exactly and what does life mean. And what does it mean to exist in that strata or that dimension? But it actually does exist right now, contemporaneous with Olam Hazeh. So what is a person going to do? A person is going to give away that share, or he's going to sell that share. So the first reservation we would have about this is showing up in Shulchan Aruch, in Choshen Mishpat, Reishim and Aleph, namely that at first glance we would say that the problem of making a sale of a dimension or of my allotment in that dimension might constitute me selling something she'eino b'reshuso, meaning I'm selling something that it may be mine, it may be awaiting me, it may be there right now, but the reality is I don't have access to it. I don't have access to it. And for that reason, says the Shulchan Aruch, something that is eino b'reshuso shel adam is regarded as davar shelo ba la'olam. Now, we've already, yes?
So how can it be at the time of Esau broke down clearly that he sold it?
Yes, so that's a wonderful question. And can we, so can, the question about, what about the mechira of the birthright that Yaakov coaxes Esau to unload on him? So this is an important question. There are a number of achronim who look at that. Some say that reality was different kodem matan Torah, because the halachas of kinyanim were not yet extant, but post matan Torah, kinyanim have to work within the parameters of halacha. So what Yaakov, Esav, what the avos were doing did not have to conform with our inyane or halachas of kinyanim. There are many answers of why we can't extrapolate from something that came or was going on before Matan Torah. Rav Moshe, by the way, just because you're bringing this up, Rav Moshe asked, how is it that we give secular names to our children? We have them ourselves. We speak the lingua franca of the country that we come in. Many of us dress like the people in our host society. And what about the fact that we're told that the Zuchuyos of Klal Yisrael, the Medrash and Parshas Pinchas, were Loshinu as Bigdehem, Lishonam, Shamam. So if that was Minag Klal Yisrael, so why don't we observe that Minag? So the Moshe mentions, just because you're asking this wonderful presented question, that he extrapolates from the opening of Bartanura in Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibbel Torah Misinai, that all of the minhagim of Klal Yisrael are post-Sinai. Those things which Klal Yisrael was knowing before Matan Torah are not relevant to us anymore. So therefore, yes, that was the minhag of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. It's not the minhag Shalanu post-Matan Torah. There's other fascinating rayas or support to Rav Moshe's premise, why we write the Shem Hashem with two yuds rather than with three yuds. The three yuds were used in Mitzrayim on the Mashkof and the Dalasos. Fascinating, but it'll take me far afield. Next time you invite me, maybe we can talk about the topic. But back to this one. So although we have established in Hilchos Tshuva that Olam Haba is not a davar shelo bala olam, because as the Rambam says, Olam Haba, it's extant, it's contemporaneous, it exists right now. It's not shelo bala olam, but a davar she'enu b'reshu so shel adam, we regard that as if it was a davar shelo bala olam. This is the psak of the Mechaber, and therefore we would not be able to sell something. It's not tachas yadi to sell. Now, there is a shach, ofenor, there's a shach, who looks at this halacha of davar she'enu b'reshuso shel adam, and he says that the reason that we can't sell that thing, it's not because it's like a davar shelo bala olam, but instead, it's like a davar she'eino shelo, that if it's not in my rishus, it's not considered mine to sell. So for example, let's say I'm back in California and I'm hiking in the desert and I set my wallet down on a rock, and then I just, for some reason, I intentionally leave it on the rock, and I get back to London and I say, anyone need a wallet? Someone says, yes, I need a wallet. I say, wonderful, I'll sell you my wallet. I have it. It's on a rock in the Mojave Desert in Central California. Okay, so that's a Dover She'eno Bereshusi. I don't have dominion over it. I don't have access to it. So according to the Mechaber, it's considered like a Dover Shelo Bala Olam. If it's not around, it's like it's not extant. According to the Shach, it's considered like something She'eno Shali. I can't sell it. It's almost like, not that I've been mafker it, but it's really not considered mine. So now, our question would be, what about Olam Haba? Call Yisrael Yeshlehem Chelek Olam Haba. My Olam Haba, I earned it. Whatever my Chelek is, I earn it, I earned it, I own it, it's mine. So from the standpoint of Ki'ilu, as if, as the Mechaber says, it's a Dover Shelo Bala Olam. Okay, so we have a problem there. But according to the Shach, who says that the reason a Dover She'eno Bereshuso is considered like it's Eino Shelo, but the Shach now predicates this, and he says, something that was never mine, meaning I purchased it, but I never made a real kinyan on it. So yes, we're going to say that thing that's not in my Reshus is ki'ilu, it's as if it's not shali, but something that was mine. So for example, if I took that wallet, and instead of setting it down on the rock, I gave it to you as a picotter, and I said, can you look after my wallet? And then I find out someone thousands of miles away needs a wallet. So I would, according to the Shach, be able to sell that wallet because it's vadai shali. And it's not that I can't locate it, I may not be able to locate the person who I gave it to as a shomer, but I know that he's watching it. So the Shach says, so that is not an ikuv, therefore it would not be considered eino shali. So now we're going to ponder what would be the situation with my chelek and olam haba. It's vadai shali. It's vadai shali. It's like it's being kept. We're going to say it's as if it's Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol is keeping the pikadon for me. But now we have a different question. Is it a davar she'eino mesuyam? What is a davar she'eino mesuyam? This is also brought in Choshen Mishpat. I had this shaila come to me. Some yeshiva bachrim, I don't know if they have them in London, but they have them in America, kosher restaurants where they offer a buffet all you can eat for one price. Okay, so you pay $15 and you can go as many times as you want back to that smorgasbord, that buffet, and eat as much as you want. The proprietor advertises this. The yeshiva bachrim walked in, they paid their money, and he didn't account for the fact that yeshiva bachrim have a gesunta appetite. And they're going back for their 11th and 12th helping of prime rib. At which point, the proprietor comes out and says, you can't do this. You're going to close me down. You're eating everything in sight. And they said, your advertising says all you can eat for $15. We're still hungry. So this became actually a halacha l'maisa shaila. Now, the Rambam holds a davar she'enu musuyam, which means something which has not been quantified can't be sold. And the concept of you can have all you can eat, that's not quantified because everybody eats a different amount. So if I say to you, I've got a bunch of diamonds in this bag, I'm selling it for $1 million. So that's a davar mesuyam because we know those are quantifiable. We open up the bag, we'll be able to count the diamonds. On the other hand, I don't know if you have it in England, we have something in America sometimes called a grab bag. You'll buy something not knowing what's in it, and then you'll take your chance. It's a type of gambling almost. You'll pay your $5, they'll hand you the bag, and whatever's in it, that's what you bought. So there are those poskim who say that that's not a good sale, that's not a good transaction, because it's a davar she'eino mesuyam. I would have the right upon opening the grab bag and finding that the only thing in it is in a toothpick of saying that, well, that wasn't worth $5. Or if I open up the grab bag and there's an emerald in it, So the salesperson would have a right to say to me, I didn't know there was an emerald in it. So that's called a davar she'eino mesuyam. Now, a davar she'eino mesuyam, the Rambam holds it's not a sale. According to the Rambam, the proprietor would have a right to say, I never intended for you to eat literally all you can eat, and therefore I took your $15. I am arbitrarily deciding 11 prime ribs is enough. Please bench and leave. Okay, so that's a sheet of the Rambam, davar she'eino mesuyam. Now, pashtus olam haba is a davar she'eino mesuyam, which means that I don't know how much schar I'm getting. I don't know lefum tzara agra, which mitzvahs I get prime rib, so to speak, schar for, and which mitzvahs that I did without kavana I may be getting a little bit less schar for, and which mitzvah shelo lishma or mitzvah haba b'avera chas v'sholom that I did, I'm not getting much schar or any schar for. So pashtus, according to Rambam's definition of a davar she'eino mesuyam, that it can't be sold and it can't be bought, so my schar and olam haba is something that it's not tachas yadi, it's not something that I can pinpoint and tell you exactly how much is there, so I wouldn't have a right to sell it to you. And if I did take money for my schar and olam haba from you, so pashtus, if b'meiva esem you'd go up and you'd see how little that you actually got from my sale, you would have a time to be able to come back to be saying that it's a mekachtos. Or better still, it was a davar she'eino mesuyam and I shouldn't have tried to sell it to you and you shouldn't have bought it from me. So this is a sheet of the Rambam, and so we would at first blush, we would say, according to that daya, which is brought in Shulchan Aruch, of course, Reish Tes, we would say, the more makomash, Reish Adalef, Reish Tes, Reish Memhei, and Yoradea, Reish Mem Aleph, and Hoshem Mishpat. These are the major makors to look in. So we would say that you really can't buy and you can't sell on Labba.
Doesn't it go even further? There are people, Eilu She'en Lahem Chelik Lailam Abba.
Yes, you took the words almost out of my mouth. They weren't the next words I was going to say, but there were two words down the road. Yes, so that's a fine question. That another reason we might argue that it's a davar she'eino mesuyam is that not only do I not know how much schar I've actually earned, but the davlanenu, we don't even know if a person has earned schar, because the Mishnah that tells us kol yisrael yesh lehem also says ve'elu she'ein lehem, it's possible for a person to forfeit their olam haba. So that also would make it a davar she'eino mesuyam. It's literally a grab bag. There could be nothing in this bag. So why would I be able to take money for that? Okay. But the davar she'eino mesuyam, to be fair, we have to mention that there's another shita. And this is a shita that's brought in Shulchan Aruch as a yesh cholkim. Yesh cholkim. That shita is the shita of the Raivad. We know the Raivad, who was actually a great supporter of the Rambam, but in many cases vehemently, vociferously argues with him. The Rambam says you can not sell a davar she'eino mesuyam. The yesh cholkim, the sheet of the Raivad, you can, is endorsed by Shulchan Aruch, and the Magid Mishnah writes that not only is this the sheet of the Raivad, but this is Pashit from the Gemara, and call, this is a very strong Lashon that he uses, call Chachmei Hadoros, all the sages throughout the generations have disagreed with the Rambam on this, and therefore you can sell a davar she'eino mesuyam, and it's actually, it appears three times in Choshen Mishpat, that shita. So now, according to the Raivad, even though I can't account for the quantification of my schar and olam haba, that shouldn't matter because I'm selling you whatever my schar is. But now we have the brilliant question. But there's another problem. Granted, a davar she'eino mesuyam, according to Raivad and Kol Chachmei Hadoros, is fungible. It's something that I couldn't put on the market. However, we do have the problem. I couldn't sell something that I don't know whether or not I actually have it. So I don't know if I'm from the cut from that faction that chas v'sholem of ve'elu she'ein lehem chelek le'olam haba. So this Pashtus, even according to what we'll call the Kula of the Ravid and the Chachmei Hadoris, this will still create a difficulty in allowing the sale, because I don't even know if I have anything to sell. None of us knows in reality whether we have a chelik in Olam Haba. That would be a reason not to be able to put it on eBay. Now, let's say we're going to take all of these scruples. We're not going to be bothered by Davar She'ein or Shaloh, because as the Shach says, it's not yours, it's got to be mine, meaning I'm the one who did the mitzvah, so whatever schar I'm entitled to, I have it, it's not yours, so it is a Davar Shali, and therefore it's not a problem of Einu Berushusi. Let's say it's not a problem of Davar Shaloh Bala Olam, because we're going to look at Hilchas Tshuva that says Olam Haba exists right now. Let's say we're not going to be concerned about the Davar She'en B'suyim, because we're not going to hold like the Rambam, we're going to hold like the Yesh Cholkim. And let's say that you're going to buy it from me with the expectation that I probably do have some Schar Mitzvah. So we've now paved a way for Heter, except we come into what I believe is an immovable roadblock. What?
You can't buy a lottery ticket.
No, you can't. Meaning, is it an asmachta or not? Yeah. Rabbi Feinstein and most poskim remater the lotto ticket. However, Rabbi Feinstein has a knach, and he says that what you're doing is you're investing a dollar in bitachon. You're investing your hishtalos. You're investing a dollar in bitachon, and you're saying, I am boteach b'Hashem, that if a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants me to have the money, and this dollar investment, however you pay in UK for a lotto ticket, that this will be my hishtadlus, and I am boteach, that if a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants me to do the hishtadlus to get this money, that I will win the lotto. But Rabbi Feinstein's kenach is that I can therefore only buy one lotto ticket. People sometimes, they try to hedge their bets and buy multiple lotto tickets. So Rabbi Feinstein says, if you do that, then you're not working with your bitachon. You're putting your bitachon in your hishtadlus. You have to put your bitachon in your bitachon. So the Rav Moshe held, I'm entitled, alts bitachon and hishtadlus, to buy a single lotto ticket, but at a particular drawing, I can only buy one. It's not like a Kodesh Baruch Hu needs to up the chances, the odds I'm going to win, and therefore I have to buy two or three. That's an interesting discussion, Bifnei Atzma. But let's go, because I don't want to keep you longer than allotted. People have busy other ways in addition to Torah way they have to get to. So let's go into what I think is an irremovable roadblock. So what is Olam Haba? As we said, it's a dimension that doesn't have any dimensionality to it. As we understand Olam Haba, it's not tangible, it's not material, it's not substance, which means it's not karka. If it's not karka, well then what is it? Meaning if it's not real estate, then how would we define alpi din, how would we define that mahus that I'm trying to sell? There are rayas from the Gemara, the way Chazal couch the concept of Olam Haba, that Olam Haba is metaltalin, meaning Olam Haba, or the Schar Olam Haba, is sort of like an object. And in order to make a kinyan on an object, on metaltalin, I have to make meshicha. I can't use the agency of a document, of a shtar. I can't use a kinyan situmta. I can't do a handshake. I don't have the broad range of acquisition behaviors on metaltalin. I have to make meshicha in order to purchase it. Which means, you give me the money, you don't own it until you make the meshicha. I'm going to sell you this watch, I'm selling it $1,000 or $100. And in order for that kinyan to be completed, the kone, the purchaser, has to make a meshicha. This, I think, is the major roadblock in selling the Olam Haba.
because it has the status of metaltalin, but there's no way the person who gives me the money can make a mashiach on it. It's not there to be moshech. He can't put his hands on it. He can't put it onto his property because, in essence, it's an abstract. It's not tangible. So I think this is something that al pi halacha, I can't get around. I can't find a way around that you would have the ability to make a kinyan. So I might be able to put it on eBay, and I might be able to take your money, but the sale's not going to go through if you can't make a mashiach. And therefore, I'm just holding your money, waiting in essence to laftim me'eva esrim, until you can make some type of metaphysical kinyan. I also want to add, in closing, that there are two other perspectives we want to look at. Back in Yoredeya Resh Mem Vav, when we learn about the Zvulun Yisachar partnership, so the Nosei Kalim are quick to note, that what I can do if I'm going to be Halavai the Yisachar, that I'm going to be the full-time learner, and I'm going to take money and partner that you'll have a chelik in my schar limud, so that only works mikan ulahabba, which means the learning that I do subsequent to forming the partnership, I have a right to share with you. The limud Torah that I've already done, I can't sell that. This Yisachar who's been learning in Kolo for 20 years, and this woman says, can I buy a chelik? He can't sell the chelik of what he's already earned schar for learning. Mikana lahaba, he can form a partnership, so the learning that we're going to do, henceforth, you're also going to have a chelik in my schar. So now, that would obviate lichaora. Lichaora is a very yeshivish term. It only shows up one time in Shas, but we use it many, many times, lichaora. Rabbi Feinstein used to pronounce it Likaeda. Likaeda. It was a Litvish Yiddish, meaning according to the light of the matter. But anyway, Lichora, which we use, so Lichora, that will obviate the sale of my chelik and olam haba, because I can't sell something I've already earned. At most, I might be able to say to you, how about if you pay me money, I'll deed you or I'll share with you the schar olam haba that I'm going to earn henceforth. This Hasidish Kofer Be'ikr, who decided he didn't want to be frum anymore, and that's why he put his chelik and olam haba on eBay, so he's not going to be earning very much olam haba, mikana lahaba, from the time he became a kofer, right? All he can do is to sell the stuff that he's already... He cannot sell the stuff he already earned. He's not planning to earn anything henceforth. So b'chlal, the sale's not going to go through. To end on a positive note, the Alshech HaKodesh lovingly tells us that if we look at the Maimer Chazal in Sanhedrin, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lehem Chelek Olam Haba, notice that it doesn't say Chelek Ba'olam Haba. It says Chelek Le'olam Haba. And the Alshech tells us that what Chazal are actually saying is that each of us are given our chelik, our techunas nefesh, we're giving our intellectual proficiency, we're given our talents, we're given our strength, our energy, our health. That is our chelik, le'olam haba, that if we utilize it appropriately, this will get us to olam haba. So we're not even talking about the chelik that I have in Olam Haba, according to the Alshech. We're talking about the chelik I have in Olam Hazeh, which gives me the capacity to get with my chelik to Olam Haba. And now, of course, this helps us understand why the Mishnah immediately says, Ve'elu she'ein lahem, which means that not everybody utilizes their chelik appropriately, and there are people who never earn that because they failed to utilize, actualize, maximize the chelik HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given them. So, yesh lepalpel al zeh,
the Sefer Chasiyim and others do bring down the possibility of selling it from a pure Choshen Mishpat perspective, it would be difficult to justify it.